Amen. Glory to God. I walked in this morning and Brother Lapatino was at the door at the same time. And he says, Pastor, two services ago, I've been dealing with this neck problem and I've been out of work. And two services ago, it just happened and it's gone. I'm going back to work. I didn't give the people upstairs this scripture, but I want to give it to them right now. Brother Scott Graham preached the second night of our district conference, and here's what he used. He used Luke, the second chapter, and verse number 6. It was about Mary, and it says, and so it was that while they were there, going to Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And he talked about how Christ was formed in the womb of Mary. And it depicts every one of us, how Christ is formed in us to the point of deliverance. Now, some of you, some of you have been praying and praying and praying, and God has been formed in you to deliver you tonight, to give you those things that you've been asking for. The pregnancy didn't happen in a month or 2 months, but there was a time that the days were accomplished. I believe we're at a place today. Tonight there's going to be healings in the house of God. So if you'll turn to James, the first chapter, and verse number 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He hasn't taken the gifts back. Once he gives the gifts to the church, they're here forever. And God hasn't changed his mind. When he gave us the gift of healing, we have access to it. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing. Lord, let the great physician be in this place tonight, God. Have your holy way. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory. We believe in great things. We're anticipating great things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm now looking at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Starting in verse number 1, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he wants to let them know about the gifts that are given to the church, not individuals, but to the church. We receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We receive the gift of salvation. But there are gifts that are given to the church. And verse number 1 of that 12th chapter says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. The problem with most Christian religions is they're totally ignorant to the gifts, or thought that those gifts had been rescinded when the apostles left. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understanding that no man speaking in the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So everyone gets gifts of the Spirit. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the gifts are in operation in the church. Hallelujah. So we see in these scriptures that God has given the church these gifts. And we've opened them. We see them in use on a regular basis, and that's the way it's supposed to be, because we have been taught, according to the scripture, that they are available to us, and there is no variableness or him changing his mind about these gifts. He hasn't rescinded them. There are some who are taught that these gifts are no longer available, but we know better than that because we've experienced these gifts in operation in the church, but we receive these gifts through knowledge and then obedience to his word. First knowledge, then obedience. We cannot see these things open to us except, first of all, we have some understanding, and then we respond. You know, those who are used in the gifts of the Spirit have to respond to the unction of the Spirit, or it's never going to happen. God needs somebody to cooperate. Tonight, if something is going to happen, there has to be people who will cooperate. We can't just stand there waiting for God to, you know. Hallelujah. This concept applies to everything that we receive from God. We have to have understanding, and then we have to be obedient or move forth in order to receive. Is there a gift for me? Now, before Jesus went to Calvary to pay for our salvation, he stopped and took a horrible beating. I remember going through the logistics of what happened to his body based on doctor's medical prognosis. To give us the very first gift, which is the gift of healing. It was so important that the very first gift that God gave us was for healing, which gives us the importance of the gift. Turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter, please. Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Not could be, you are healed. God planned for our healings long before he came to the earth. He planned for it. He knew what the needs were. He knew that each and every one of us were going to get to a place in our life where we need some spiritual, heavenly intervention in our life in order to take care of these things. You know, the amount of trillions of dollars that are spent in healthcare facilities in order to do things to help us prolong our life and take care of diseases, and all of that is wonderful. However, God recognized that's not enough. I got a call from my sister. I think it was Friday, and she told me the cancer is back. She's had two times she's had cancer, and now about 8 years later, she has diagnosed of another cancer. And the first two times, there was just no question that God miraculously healed her. She had a 10% chance of recovery, but she also was baptized in Jesus' name as a result of it, you know? So now she's not looking to the doctors anymore. She's looking to God, you see. So turn to Isaiah. chapter 53, verse number 5. It's talking about Jesus, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So 1 Peter 2 and 24 is a fulfillment of what Isaiah 53 and 5 said. Long before the day of Pentecost, Jesus literally healed thousands and thousands of people. The Bible doesn't record all of the people that he healed, but he also understands that healing identified who Jesus was, and the healings identify who the real church is. No man doeth these things, you know. Nicodemus says, hey, you must be coming from God because nobody else can do this. And when people see there's healing in the church of the living God, they recognize this is of God because man cannot do this. The doctors can't explain it. When the doctor came back from the heart catheterization for my wife and they were going to take her in for open heart surgery because they're convinced that she's going to need it, the doctor said, I don't understand what happened. My wife said, so all of these tests, you know, what are the chances of all of these tests showing the blockage and then being completely clear? She said, I don't know. She said, do you believe in God? He pulls out this chain with a cross on. He says, yes, I do. I've experienced this over and over again. Glory to God. Turn to Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark 16 and verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we find that these signs shall follow them that believe. It gives us the credentials. It's passing down the gift from Jesus to the church. He didn't leave us comfortless. He came and he gave us gifts. Glory to God. Turn to James, very familiar scripture, the 5th chapter. Verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? What should we do? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. What's the conclusion? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. So we find that there has to be a measure of faith, a measure of belief. God is, see what's happening tonight, is there's an elevated faith in here based on what we're reading in the scripture and the testimony that brings your level of faith to a point where I can now receive the gift of healing in my life. You know, if it's never talked about in church, if nobody ever actually has that experience, what are the chances that you can receive the gift that God wants to give us? So we find that when we have these testimonies of God doing these things, and there's plenty of them in here, perhaps if we had a better understanding of God's word and the authority we have over sickness, you see, we would step out to receive the gift that was given even before Calvary. It was so important that God gave us the gift even before the gift of salvation. God gave us the gift of healing. Now, we don't have all of the answers and we don't see everyone healed. But we don't do the healing. It's God. God doesn't give the gift to individuals. God gives the gift to a church, and he'll use who he will use. I don't understand why one person is healed and another person isn't healed. It's not a matter of they're a better person or they have more faith. God is sovereign. Healing is up to him alone and for his purpose, not necessarily our purpose. You can go to heaven still not healed. I've seen people that weren't living for God healed. And I've seen people who have been living for God for years that just continue not to be healed, remain sick. Healing isn't just a formula we follow out of God's healing manual, you know? And that's why some people get discouraged, because you understand it's a gift, it's in the Bible, but it's still up to God. It's not up to us. Take a look at Matthew, the 8th chapter, please. And verse number 16. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now, this is an incredible scripture, because what it says is he took on our infirmities, our weakness, our sickness, to bear them that we didn't have to go through it. He paid the tremendous price for salvation, and he also paid a tremendous price for our healing. Now, when you pay for something, then you own it, you see. So then, why aren't all people we pray for healed? Healing is one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and we don't question God when every service we don't have tongues and interpretation. We don't say, well, what's going on here? We didn't have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I have been used in the gifts of the Spirit and led by the Spirit. I've also prayed over sinners that were miraculously healed who never served God whatsoever, and prayed for saints to be healed, and they weren't, because God is sovereign. It doesn't necessarily mean that God has withdrawn the gift of healing, but there's a purpose and there's a timing. When the days were accomplished, delay doesn't mean denial. I've said it so many times. I wish we could empty all of the hospitals. Wouldn't that be great? Take a walk over to St. Luke's Hospital in Milwaukee and empty them all, you know, and I wonder how many people would follow us out of the room. But people won't serve God simply because they're healed. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've seen it happen. I've seen the miraculous happen, and people are grateful, and then they walk away. You would think they'd be indebted to God that for the rest of their life they would serve God, but it just doesn't happen that way. It's because they respond to the gospel. That's how they're saved. Not responding to healing. Responding to Acts 2 and 38, and the rest of the epistles are there, you know, not just for suggestion, but for, listen, even Jesus didn't empty out the pool at Bethesda. He didn't. Could have. It was the hospital of that day. There were all kinds of people who were needing healings at that pool, but Jesus walked up to one man. 38 years waiting for the water to be troubled. 38 years somebody carried him there and laid him at the pool. You know, you would think, boy, God's just not going to heal me. But when the days were accomplished, the man Jesus was directed by the Spirit to heal one, or on other occasions like we read, all. It's not about us. It's about the Spirit and the power of God that is within us. That's why it's so important to move on the unction of God. That's why when God gives you an unction to pray for someone, that's the time to do it. That when God lays on you, I need to get to the altar. That's the time of deliverance. That's the time when the days are accomplished, and you don't want to pass up your day, you see. He is the content, and we are the container. The power is within us. We're just a vessel that God uses in order to deliver the gifts to people, you see. We speak and do as we are directed by the Spirit. We are just conduits. We are the ones who take the measure of God's Spirit in order to do what God wants. Anyone who has the Holy Ghost is now a container who God wants to use, direct. Because the content in us is the same content that was in the man Jesus. Same thing. We really are the body of Christ. We must understand that the power that is within us is greater than he that is within us, than whatsoever problem that we face. We have the power within us. I was talking to Brother Drury while I was at conference, and I said, Brother Drury, and this is just, I guess, off the wall because a lot of our constituents just don't believe this, but it says in Luke, the 17th chapter, verse number 3, if people who have hurt you will repent, we're obligated to forgive them. But if they don't, we're not obligated to forgive. And there's a power in that. You see, God's not going to forgive me unless I repent to God. He's just not. So why would he ask us to do something that he requires, you see? But here's the value. When we pray for someone, you know, like in Job 42 and 10, when Job prayed for his rotten friends that were accusing him all of the time, God delivered him from his sickness and gave him twice as much as what he had lost. Now, he didn't forgive them, but he prayed for them, and God released him from his sickness. Is there somebody here that has aught against somebody, you see? And the reason you're not getting your healing is because you have these ill feelings towards them. And the other thing is that as soon as you pray for somebody who's done something to you or hasn't done something you thought they should, when you pray for them, it releases any kind of bitterness or feelings that you have towards them. I don't know how it works, but it always works. Hallelujah. You've heard my feelings. I need to pray for you right now so it doesn't affect me and cause me to become bitter, and therefore the relationship with God is tainted, you see? Glory to God. You have to understand that the power is within us. Jesus declared that he was preaching the kingdom of God every time he healed the sick or cleansed the lepers. He was preaching, you see. Maybe they won't listen to Acts 2 and 38. Maybe they won't listen to John 3 and 5. But we're preaching God when we lay hands on him and all of a sudden they're healed. Now all of a sudden, hey, they're listening, you know. It's like when I first walked into a Pentecostal church, I didn't understand what was going on at all, but I knew there was a power of God in this place, and that caused me to want to learn more about my God. Proclamation comes with performance. Declaration comes with demonstration. Teaching comes with transformation. All of these things have to happen in us before we can receive all of what God wants to give us. Matthew 4 and 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people." What then is the gospel of the kingdom? To heal all manner of diseases, cast out devils, deliver people, teach them truth about salvation. It's all part of the gospel. We can't separate one from another. And then let them experience the transformation that happens in their life. Hallelujah. Now, there was a struggle at Gethsemane over the cup of sin. When we were in Israel, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane. There were olive trees that were just huge and all gnarled. They say they are the same trees that Jesus prayed under. And I thought the agony that happened in Gethsemane was similar to the agony on the cross, because we all deal with things that we need to do. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 42, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." I need a healing. But if you don't heal me, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to serve you. Because eternity is more important than the few years that I have, whether it's in comfort or not. You see? Not my will, but thy will. You know, I know there have been people who have left salvation because God didn't heal them. How foolish that is. Now, had Jesus not accepted the sin of the world, he could not have been put to death on the cross. Romans 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift was after the crucifixion of God. It didn't come until the crucifixion. Disease and sickness is death in small doses. That's what it is. You know, we recognize that with COVID, you know. And there are some things that continue to plague people. Brother Larry Graff's wife is in the hospital right now. Looks like she's going to have to go through open heart surgery. But God knows all about that. Our God has overruled sickness because of a beating he took. Listen, Jesus went through substitutionary pain and suffering for us. He took the pain. He took the diseases. He bore it in his body. That's what the Bible says. While he was made to suffer, we were made to be well. That's the gift. While he was made sin, we were made righteous. Jesus didn't do miracles because he was deity camouflaged in dust. We must understand this, or we won't have the faith to release the power of God in us. We might think that we have to be total deity in order to perform the things that God did, but he was not total deity when he healed many people and did many miracles. He said in John 14 and 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Peter walking down the street, and his shadow overlooked people who were sick, and they were healed instantly. Where did that happen with Jesus? Didn't happen. I mean, this is such an incredible scripture. Greater works than these shall you do. God has such great confidence in his church. He has given us such power to see these things happen. And I believe we live far below our privilege. We should anticipate when we walk through the door, something great is going to happen to me. Hallelujah. Jesus did these works as a normal man anointed with the Holy Ghost. Because he was a God-man. If he did them because he was all God, then we have no hope of working great deeds because we'll never be deity. You see, we are the prototype of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. His whole miracle ministry followed and flowed out of the anointing on his flesh. You know, it's not because of performance, it's not because of intellect, it's not because of our strength, it's because of a flow of the Holy Ghost out of us, a power of God out of us. And that is why we can now step into the miracle ministry, the church that conforms to his word will see the miracles. And that's why I'm so adamant about we have to conform to the righteousness of God. We have to be consecrated in order to see the things that God wants to do through us. The frustrating thing is we read the book and we see all of the things that God did and tells us that we'll do greater things, and then they don't happen because we haven't had a consecration like we should. We can't be a part-time church. We can't be just a date that meets on Wednesdays and Sundays. But when we are the church, we're going to be outstanding, you see. Exodus 15 and 26 says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." The ETH means at the end of anything, believeth, healeth means continually heals, continually believes. Malachi 3 and 6 says, "I am the Lord and I change not." He hasn't changed his mind about giving the gifts. He hasn't taken them back. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." He's still healing through us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the same one that healed all manner of diseases, living inside of us. God hasn't changed. There is power in this place tonight for healing. It doesn't matter if it's cancer. It doesn't matter if it's heart disease. It doesn't matter. It's not just a physical thing. It's an emotional thing. It's a spiritual healing. What he has done, he still wants to do. But he cannot do it if he can't get the containers to help. It's not enough to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Somehow we need to use the power that is within us. Hallelujah. What about tomorrow? When God heals you tonight, what about tomorrow? You think your testimony is going to be a little greater? Do you think somebody's going to listen to you a little more than just handing them a visitor's card or a friend's Sunday card? There's a power. Glory to God. If you'll turn back to Isaiah 53. Starting in verse number 1. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, if I were coming down from heaven, I would find the most beautiful, gorgeous body that I could possibly find, you know, that would attract a lot of people. But he didn't do that. It wasn't like, oh, wow, did you see him? No, he was like us. Hallelujah. If you've got a little more beauty, I'm sorry for you. You'll probably have more problems than most of us. Amen. Verse number 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Are healed. So what I want you to do is I want you to go home, fast for 3 or 4 weeks, read at least half of the Bible, come back, and then you'll be ready to get healed. No. No prerequisites except, do you believe me? That's what God is saying. You know, if that weren't the case, then sinners wouldn't get healed. They walk in here and something happens to them and they're feeling the power of God. And what God is trying to do is he wants to show himself strong on their behalf, so somehow they will begin to follow him and change their life. The blood of Jesus was put on the altar for atonement. The word atonement means covering. There are two things covered under God's atonement policy in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. It is sin and it is sickness. If you really look at those five verses, it deals with two things. It deals with the sin and it deals with sickness. And in verse 4, it says, surely he hath borne our grief. And the same word translated griefs was translated 34 times as sickness and disease. Surely he has borne our sickness and our disease. This is confirmed in Matthew 8 and 17 and Isaiah 53 and 4. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He did that for me. He did that for you. Now, when you pay a price like that, it must have great value. If we break Isaiah 53 and 4 down in the original Hebrew, it reads, surely or certainly he hath borne or to carry away our sickness and carried our sorrows. And that word carried, I looked it up, it says to carry garbage outside the camp. He's taken our sickness and had taken it outside the camp, meaning the pain, the regrets, the remorse, the heartaches. He's taken it out of the way. He took it on himself so we wouldn't have to suffer it. So Jesus bore all of the pain that is associated with sickness, disease, failure, mistakes, errors, feelings of regret or remorse. Our salvation flows through his dying on the cross. But before he got to the hill, he went to a whipping post. So by his stripes, we could be healed. We could be delivered from all of this. Hallelujah. If all Jesus wanted to do was get us saved from sin, if that's all, then he would not have allowed himself to be beaten half to death. He recognized, I got to take care of my bride. How important to God is our healing? That he would take that kind of beating? You know, and I know there are some people who might think, well, I'm just not worthy, and or I'm not going to bother God with this. You know, we understand that if we cut ourselves within a few days, it's going to be healed. We have faith to believe that. So what happens if something more serious happens in our bodies? If he heals our cut, why wouldn't he heal the cancer? Hallelujah. I said this some months ago. There was a lady in our congregation that had Crohn's disease, and it's a terrible disease, and she had, I think, something like 20 operations, took sections of her intestines out because they were infected. And she said, Pastor, you know, I know that God is going to heal me. I know he talked to me, he's going to heal me. She got down to just, I think, like 3 foot of intestines, and that became infected. And the doctor says, I'm sorry, we're going to have to take it all. You're going to have to wear a colostomy. And she said, no, God is going to heal me. She was so adamant. She had a level of belief of someone that I perhaps have never seen before. Went into the operation, and the doctor came up. And said, I don't know what to tell you, but when we opened you up, all of your intestines were there. St. Luke's Hospital, it's on record. Hallelujah. Think of the agony that our God went through so tonight you could be healed. By his blood and death, we're saved, but by his stripes, we're healed. Jesus dying and blood was designed to set us free from sin. And we believe that. I walked into a baptismal. I was buried in the name of Jesus, completely submersed in water. And I still don't know how I was saved. You see? But I believe that all my sins are washed away. We haven't really evidence of that except the obedience to the Word of God. But when it comes to healing, there is immediate evidence of what God has done in our life. You see? His beating was designed to give us a release from sickness and disease and heartache and regrets and remorse. Hallelujah. You know, there's more than just physical healing. There's spiritual and emotional healing. Some people drag themselves in here because they've been beat up in a lot of different areas, and they need a healing as well. 1 Peter 2 and 24 said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Now we pass over, should live unto righteousness. The price for your healing has already been paid. And the word healed in the Greek means to receive medical attention from a physician to make one well. So if you'll turn in the New Testament to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 24, we always read this before communion. Verse 24 says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he supped, saying, 'This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So when Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper, he gave us two things. Two things to remember. Two things to assure us. Number one, the vine symbolized the life that was in the blood shed for the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Number two, the bread was a symbol of his broken body, not as a symbol of salvation at all, but as a symbol of a body that was broken so our bodies could be healed. "This do in remembrance of me." Not only did you get salvation at Calvary, but you also got healing at Calvary, because he became sin and died, we are able to become righteous, and because his body was broken, we are able to be healed. He wasn't just our Savior on the cross. He was the greatest physician that the world has ever known.
Yes. Hallelujah.
See, doctors go through years and years of studying this body in order to somehow help heal it. But what if somebody made it? He made this body. We don't even know. We don't even have a glimpse of how it even works. But there is a God who made every cell in your body. He made every system in your body. He made... Think about the price Jesus paid that we could be healed tonight. 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 When the days were accomplished, Jesus delivered. There's some of you who have been waiting for this night for a long, long time. I believe from the bottom of my heart, God wants to do something miraculous in this place. We're looking for a way to build this church. We're looking for a way to attract more people to this. What could be a greater thing than seeing great miracles happen within the body of Christ? That we can go out and give testimony of how great of a physician that is in the body. You need it. Who do you know that needs healing? Who do you know needs deliverance? Who do you know that's under all kinds of pressure? And God's saying, "I can do that. I've already paid the price for you." Hallelujah. So would you stand with me tonight? Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. What a horrible thing it would be that we preach a message on healing and then give an opportunity for somebody to get healed in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Anybody feel a level of faith that they believe that God is going to take care of them right now? Hallelujah. You know what? I don't need to know what's going on in your body. I don't need to know what's going on. God already knows. He's read your mail. He knows how you've suffered. He knows how you've longed for certain things. And tonight, I'm wondering, come on, let God do what he already paid for. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God.